Welcome to the Listen to Your Horse podcast. More freedom, more joy, more horse.
Hi, Jeannie from Listen to Your Horse. I'm back again with Dr. Kasia Kynes, and I hope you guys caught our last podcast where Kasia told us all about how she went from being deathly allergic to horses, never having anything, not even touching a horse until she was 40, and then the owner of very challenging rescue horses, including a wild Mustang that nobody else could even get near, and how she, being in her complete inexperience and openness, is actually the best person to have difficult wild horses. And if you guys missed that episode, please go back and take a look at it. But Kasia, let's have an update on, because I think a lot of things changed for you after that podcast. Tell us what's happened after. What have been the results and the shifts from doing that podcast for you?
Oh, thank you for having me again. And I, you know, if anybody wants to listen to me speak then, like, I apologize because I was almost incomprehensible. I was in this tumultuous energy of shifting and so I will be more clear today. Well, and we talked with Jeannie because there was a, so, you know, it's always divinely guided, and I just follow the crumbs. And if I feel I need to do something, I just do. And so it was Sunday that Jeannie, well, before you emailed me about it, I think I missed your email, but your newsletter came up. Here's a new podcast. And the title of the podcast hit me because you only talked about that most important aspect of wild Mustangs at the very end. And I didn't really think about it when we talked about it together.
Yeah.
And it was Sunday, I was in the kitchen. It was a beautiful sunny day around noon. It's like, watch it. It's like, I'm not gonna watch myself. No, you need to watch it. Now, you have to watch it. Like, I have to watch it. I'm in the kitchen anyway, no chopping. Might as well watch it. Maybe I'll learn something and pick up something new. Okay, I'll click and watch it. By the time I finished watching it and listening, I was able to integrate actually, and there's a different energy and different concept. And I had an aha moment because I always wanted to write a book about the first horse that I met, a sister. She was not a Mustang. I only knew her a couple of months, but now she's my guardian angel, actually. She's always with me. And she opened that door to horses when I was in my 40s. Mm. Oh, I think I was actually, it was actually 2020. It was actually 2020.
Oh.
So I was in my mid 40s.
Yeah.
I was not 40. I was in my mid 40s. And, and then she transitioned. She was very sick and she was an empath. And it was just incredible. I had no background, nothing. The door opened. The love flooded. And I think sister led me to the Mustang. And that's another story. So I always knew I wanted to write the book, and the book would be called Sister, the Horse That Started It All. The story of love and miracles. And now they're, ooh, I'm going to cry. And now there's stories. But then there's another book I didn't realize about beauty. And it cannot be written yet because we haven't got to that point. But I realized that, you know, then it morphed into a book will be about women like me coming into the world of horses, the childhood heart connection that was never allowed to grow, and the allergies prevented me. But when I stepped into the world horse, not to ride, I don't even ride, but to really be together as a family with no background, I want to create a book like a workbook, what boots to wear, what pants to wear when you're in elements for 4 hours and it's rainy, windy, what, you know, how do you deal with hay? Gloves are helpful, this or that. I mean, all the things that you have to learn on your own, just like you've learned majority of things on your own, intuition, telepathy, connection, wisdom, you know, insights.
That's a really good point, because like just even with the gear, you waste a lot of money buying the wrong gear because you don't know what you'll need until you hit a situation. You're like, Oh shoot, I don't need just winter-proof boots, even though I'm in like the Pacific Northwest, but guess what?
Right.
When you're outside for 4 hours, you better have thermal winter boots.
Yeah,
And then I
there's.
need them at this level of waterproof, and then I need them at this level of durability. So then by that time you've already bought like two or three pairs of boots, money down the drain, because they're not good enough. Yeah.
Yeah, I have different boots or different pants and different layers always layers, even now in the heat of summer. Like navigating it, I can be in element in Pacific North, nonstop rain for 4 hours in the mud, and I'm good. Even like what is the scoop that you pick up the muck?
Yeah.
Don't use wood, use metal.
Yeah.
Because you'll have splinters. You will. I mean, and it's heavy. And all kinds of stuff like that. So that's one layer, and then spiritual layer, and then also horse speak, which was a language that the body language that they use together against each other. So we can talk, and I can actually ask and gain insight what they are speaking without telepathy. So that's another level. So I want to share all of that. But then after that Sunday, and you encouraged me, and I actually started writing the vision because the vision was bigger. And at the same time, I'm writing, and hummingbird comes and right in my face and looking at me right in the middle. And he came another on another window, and it's just, and my heart opened so much that when I went to the paddock, I actually was hearing the gelding next door, what Beauty was saying about him. He's not a jerk, actually. I could not make it up. Like, she doesn't like geldings. I think as a wild female horse, she expects something different from a stallion and a
Yeah.
horse that is not gelded. And she's like, who are these?
They're so different.
She's still so raw in who she is. And so the vision, so I started to write down all these things in my laptop before I forgot. All these things I started to come present. And then I went to the paddock and presented a vision to Beauty. And this is when she finally healed, because there was this part of Beauty that was not accessible to anyone. Like our hearts are together. I can touch her anywhere. I can do anything. But there was just that part when she was still stuck in the heart space. There was some trauma, some pain that she was not able to let go of.
And just so people know, Beauty is Kasia's wild Mustang in her.
Beauty is a wild Mustang. Not only that, I watched her mind journey and the other mare's journey through many videos that I shared with Sharon Wilsey, the creator of Sports Horse Speak. So we had a lot of analysis of what was happening in her, how shut down she was. She was not even in her body. She was like, I can't even go there. And so here's the vision I presented to Beauty, and that was the day when she shifted. Shall I just map it out? Because I
Yes.
can't believe it.
Tell us the vision that
I'll tell
emerged
the
from
vision.
you being brave enough to do the podcast with me and
Thank you for the invitation. I hope this will help a lot of women. I know there's a lot of women like me out there. This is coming. So the point you made at the end of the podcast was that people do not understand and are apprehensive of wild Mustangs as uncontrollable and really like overbearing, and how do you even train or whatnot? I never trained Beauty. And Beauty is also a lead mare. She's very serious, meticulous. She's very serious, focused, and like lead mare is a lead mare. Doesn't follow anyone. And so that's another layer. And so the rescue said it's the hardest, most difficult wild horse they ever rescued. They've been rescuing them for a long time, but nothing like that. And so that day, the book will be about me and Beauty and how we're going to connect women like me with Beauty like her.
Love it.
And there was a time when I was still a volunteer and I didn't have any rights for her. She was still adopted by somebody else. When we were together and she landed her muzzle on my knuckle and went deep for it. And we just were in that no space, no time bubble. of complete pure love. There was nothing else. I don't know how long it lasted. But my telepathic teacher told me, she later told her, it was bliss. She had never experienced something like that in the wild. So we are like forever. We are forever heart to heart. And so she's eating hay. I have a big bowl with a slow feeding net on sitting on top of it. And so she's chewing out through the net, her Timothy hay. And it's like, Beauty, I want to talk to you. I have a new vision for us. And she looks at me. This is not how we're going to talk. She walks around the bowl, walks around me, puts her nose there, puts her tail on me. It's like, you need to stand right here. Then you tell me, because she's very serious. Like, yeah. You want to tell me, then we talk. So I closed my eyes. I stood there, dropped into my heart. And I talked to her in my heart, in my mind. And this is the offer. And I tell her, you don't have to do it, but we can do it. So I reminded her, I always do. Remember that you are a Mustang. Remember you are a wild Mustang. Don't ever forget. It's very important. You should be proud always and wear it on you. And we can help other women like me find their bliss with other Mustangs like you. We can help all those Mustangs that you saw. You can be an advocate for your people. You can be an ambassador for your people. If you want, I will find the women and then we will find the horses. I don't know what it means, how. And we will bring them together and help them. And maybe, you know, the telepathy, intuition, horse speak, maybe I can introduce a woman that is completely green. No programming, no trainings.
The best kind.
The best kind, right? No reprogramming. And see if we can make a difference and help your people. But you don't have to do it. And I don't know when it will be. We first have to find a farm and move. And then, you know, we tell Switch that. And so I start, you know, I go around my mocking, which takes me like an hour. I mock every day and scoop the hoof. And I just remember, be proud. Remember that. I always want to keep, you know, have her autonomy as much as I can and her who she is as much as I can. I don't want to eradicate any of that. I don't want to train or anything. And I'm standing in the, you know, in the background and she's walking from the hay to get some water. And she's walking like, I am Mustang. We can do this. We can make a difference. And she's walking to this water. I'm not kidding. She's like, yeah, we can do this. And then like 30 minutes later, I'm just still mocking. And because my heart is open. Sometimes you're in tunnel vision when you're doing stuff and you're not telepathically open at all. But at that time, it was such a day. It was, you know, the end of the day. The sun was still out. She's back at the hay eating. And I hear the voice saying, and I put them all at rest. Before that, I see glimpses of hoofs running, helicopter noise. I'm not emotionally crying. I'm just observing. There's some of the past. You know, my telepathic friend told me at some point that there was a stallion that was trying to rape her when they were like all frantic. He was extremely toxic because he was in his death energy. Like he knew they were dying. She was going for slaughter the following day before she was rescued.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And she was not the horse that they were supposed to rescue. They just swapped. And I think sister had something to do with it because sister transitioned about 2 weeks before that.
Ah.
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, that's why I have to write the book because you can't make it up.
Yeah.
And so first I hear this, I feel this, the commotion, the hoofs running and all this. And then I hear that I lay them all at rest. And I'm standing in this and looking at her. I was like, did I just hear that? A couple of days later, maybe next day, Beauty really didn't understand the halter. And every experience with a halter she had was wrong experience.
Yeah.
Wasn't my, not, you know, you can do it differently. It was forced and there was a deadline and there was pressure and I was not involved at that time. I didn't have the rights. And all that story, and I didn't have experience anyway at that point. I had never put a halter on a horse. And every single halter that anybody could put on her would slide off. She would get it off. And there was one halter always hanging, waiting for the trainer. There was a trainer periodically for the halter. And one day I came as a volunteer and she stepped and walked over that. She must have dragged it on the ground. And it was like in the middle of her path, like, Beauty, did you just do that? Is that how you feel about the halter? I said, not me, not me. I didn't do anything. But, you know, it was like, there was never consent and there was never logic, like, why?
Yes, exactly.
Like, I learned that if she said, you can drive me, you can be my leader from the back. All I need to do is cheek, neck, shoulder, let's go. I have her on the back and she walks. I'm her leader. The lead mare walks other horses in front of her and just directs them. That's how it works. So I've never used, like, she still doesn't like the lead rope. There was a person that was trying to rope her in a round pen before my time. I watched the video. It was not pretty. He failed. He roped her, but he failed. So the concept of rope and going in circles, they went in circles with her to our breaking point, just so that she finally started to pay attention and eventually put a halter on her. All that stuff, it's different. You know, it's like different. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that's what happened. So she needs to understand why. Everybody needs to understand why you're doing something.
Yeah.
What's the purpose? Where are we going? Why now? And horses can say not now.
Yeah.
And that's very important. Not now. You can have conversations. How about now? Okay. And so,
yeah, I want to highlight that because often, you know, we think that a yes or a no is a yes or a no, like end of. And horses are so in the moment. So if your horse says no, it just means no for right now.
No for right now.
And that could change in 15 minutes. It could change in 15 days. Like it.
Correct.
If that's what's in your heart or something that you want to do, you just have to keep asking.
Yeah.
I mean, like, ask in different ways and
different
maybe,
ways. Yeah.
And maybe you're asking too much and you need to dial it back 10 steps and just ask her this thing. Like it's really important, I think, you know, for people to see this as a very fluid conversation.
Yeah. And I have a perfect example. If you want to go there later with Jesse, it's a remarkable story with that horse. And so going back to that halter, she would bear with me and we would try halters and sometimes a long time. Eventually, if I had a farrier coming that I trusted, we were trying to work with her because her hoofs were too long. She was no longer in captivity, you know, trimming her hoofs. There was not enough space and solid ground. So she had them trimmed a few times. And the halter was needed and she would bear with me. Like we would be there like, okay, I'm holding on to you. Look at me like we can do this. And sometimes I would jinx it. If I was able to put the halter on, then I would want to keep it overnight for the farrier to come. Cause the girl had to travel. It's like, you know, you have pressure. And I jinxed it once, it went over her ear again. And that was the last time. And it took me 2 weeks every single day. I took one day break in the middle because I was at a breaking point. Took all of my everything I had in me to try to take it off. He would not let me. With everything, all the trust she had in me, that was a no and no and no, and whatever we did, no, no. And it was carving so close to her eyes, so she was very protective. And I think that I may have been injured in the wild because she was so protective, was rubbing over the ear, and so she, like, her skin was starting to, you know, be a little raw. And after 2 weeks, it was 8 p.m. when she was most relaxed and meditative. And I looked at her and I said, Beauty, like, trust me, let's do it. And it was a buckle. So I was able to unbuckle, but the hole was still holding with the little thing. I just needed to pull it but she wouldn't let me hold it with both hands. I needed leverage.
Yeah.
But this time I was like, this is what we'll do. And all my energy, all my love, all my like, we can do this, we'll do that, it's okay. Pulled, dropped. The trauma ended.
Yeah.
He started to eat grass, whatever there was on the ground. That was my experience before. That was a few months before. I haven't touched the halter. I didn't have the need. I was like, you know, we were different things to do. She had healing to do. And she became toxic from alpha, alpha and high protein. So there was a lot of stuff that I was doing, progressing with the relationship. But I finally also bought the most wonderful, lightweight, tiny little halter made of rope, but very few knuckle, very few of those balls that
and
are
the
irritating.
Knots, yeah.
And so this was perfect size for her, black like her. And it was like within the next 48 hours from that conversation, that vision, that I offered it to her again because I was showing it to her. And this time she leaned in, invited me, let's play. Okay, I'll listen. This is the first time when she didn't say no. She wouldn't walk away. She like leaned in. Okay, we'll try it on. I tried it on. I, you know.
Tied the knot.
Tied the knot. Took a few steps back. Told her how proud I was. Proud pet. Like, I am so proud. And then I walked away because that walking away and coming back and undoing it was that hard 2 week experience.
Yeah.
One imprinted. Walked away. 5 minutes later, I came back somewhere else, called her. She waited for me, untied it, dropped it. And then we repeated it another day. And then on the third day, we already were doing it. Jesse comes in, and Jesse is devoted to beauty. Jesse saved beauty. This was the horse that saved beauty. Jesse has one eye and hates halters. And Jesse, so we're, you know, I'm already like, let's practice again. I need to practice too, because I don't have much experience. And so beauty is standing here, and Jesse comes right up my nose and says, we're gonna show beauty how it's done. Put it on me. It's like, she's sniffing. It's like, this is beauty's. Put it on me. It's like, you don't like halter, just no. Put it on me right now. And Jesse, if you want to put a halter on her, she will bite it. She will pin her ears, and she will even snap at you. She's very clear. Like,
yeah,
you can't play with Jesse. same with a fly mask. This is a story about not now. I put it on her, and she's like a dream. Yes, I'm a very good example of how it's done, beauty. Look, 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 look. This is done. I'm looking at beauty. Beauty's looking at her, and she's already, I know, we've already done that. So I, you know, took it off her. So we did that a couple of times. I didn't have a need to do it again. We'll do it when my friend comes to check on her feet. Christina is the friend that comes, who has been trimming her own horses. She's a horse whisperer. She's a beautiful soul.
Mm-hmm.
Had a hard horse who was a wild Mustang, dangerous, that she created an amazing love affair and beautiful life together. And he transitioned 3 years ago. So when she came, met me and heard about beauty, her heart was like, I know. And so when she came, not only the first time, when she came before that vision, beauty let her kiss her on the muzzle 2-3 times unsolicited, a different time. She never does that.
Wow.
They took her their time. They walked together. But after the vision, we couldn't believe it. Like, beauty was a different horse. This is my home. Let me show you, Christina. First, before you give me the carrot, let me check with my humans, like, you need to be a protector now because we're talking. You're going to check the fence and look like I'm on it. So I'm like standing and doing horse speak, you know, I'm protecting, I'm looking,
yes.
Everything's fine, tail swish, no boogeyman. They're talking, sharing carrots. And then beauty walks, stops, looks back at Christina. And I'm explaining horse speak to her. She wants you to follow. So, okay, she's following her. She's never shown trust to anyone like that or any conversation like with any human. Most humans, she doesn't get. And I understand Christina is very clear and very heart-centered, and she knows horses. So she walks her around a bowl where Mash had been. It's like, now we're going to greet over the bowl. So now Christina stands here. She walked around, and now they do the muzzle greeting, the formal greeting. Mm-hmm. And after that greeting, she says, follow me to the hay. We can share hay now. She follows to the hay bowl, the hay net. And I just tell Christina, keep going. She's like looking at her, follow me. And you saw she kneels in front of her and she, you know, pulls some hay and offers, and she takes the hay from her. Now we have, and this is the upper condo of our home. This is where, you know, this is a formal introduction. She is more mellow.
Yeah.
She's changed.
Completely changed.
That pain of loss of her herd, I think it was a herd of 5, maybe. From my telepathic teacher, we ask, you know, she had babies. She was pregnant when she came, rescued as well. So she's a mom. She's been through it. And she's also a priestess of transition for horses. She's been at death when horses die, and she guards, she watches, and she helps with the transition. So she's not afraid of any of that. So that's what I picked up on this journey. But she was always just different, and now she's more like, I am enjoying my life more. We're going somewhere. We have a purpose. So the first purpose was, can I unlock her so she has a purpose with other horses? Because she was on her own. She was biting other horses. It was only Jessie that kept leaning through the fence. She wasn't groomed for like 2 years.
Because she wouldn't let another horse near her, would she? Mm-hmm.
She would stay away from humans and horses, beware. So when I started to integrate her with 2 other mares, they were cautious about the hay party. Like, they were cautious, like, we come back. We don't know what she's going to do.
Yeah.
And then Jesse eventually leaned over. I think it's okay to groom together. And that first time I was just, and it was after a year.
Yeah. Horse time.
Of them being next door. And now I've never seen a horse devoted to another horse like Jessie is. Never seen anything like it. And the other day, Jessie behaved like this towards me, first time. That's the story of Not Now.
So what else? Well, 2 things. First of all, just to explain to people, when you mention horse speak, that's a system of body language developed by Sharon Wilsey. She has a book and she has videos on it. Very useful, just that she picked up from observing and watching and listening. So it's a wonderful shortcut for people who don't have the time to watch and observe for hundreds of hours.
And you know, and it's great for people green like me, because I literally join her club with a weekly live video analysis, including mine, like weekly. I joined that within like 2 months of meeting Beauty first time. So my communication with her was completely her language.
Yes.
And this is how it went. It was so fast because I was the first human that made sense to her.
Yeah, exactly. Who's the first human who's behaving rationally and like, logically.
I was like, if I do a little cheek, neck, shoulder, which is what they say to move each other, she's like, yep, moving. Like, it's her language. I'm just mimicking in human body, what she would hear from another horse in horse body. So, yeah. You know, it's like we're learning their language rather than imposing our craziness. So yeah. That was my foundation and you know, intuition, love, and giving space and not pushing and sheer love.
I have another question for you, because that first podcast that we did together was kind of a spiritual coming out to your professional clients and, you know, in your work situation, where you are a clinical nutritionist and you specialize in helping people with Epstein-Barr virus. So you're, a science-based, can we, I mean, the MD profession doesn't like to call you a doctor, but you have a PhD, you are a doctor. And so you coming out really honestly about telepathy and about spiritual guidance, and did that,
Am I ready to go for that?
did it
Your
shift
general
things in your business work?
So I've been doing that in my business work with my clients, with my students, with my patients. I attract spiritually people on a spiritual journey already. Telepathy is a little, animal communication, and then the horse world, that's different. But I haven't shared that publicly outside of my community because I've had a spiritual mentor for many years. It's like a combination of spiritual and business mentor. So my business has foundations that are solid on both levels. And I was at the same time, I was transitioning, the 20-year marriage and trying to move from the, sell the house that we both bought, even, getting rid of my previous life as a partner and wife, and even giving away my bed and my mattress, like clearing my energy, downsizing, but also having a new spiritual mentor to help me with boundaries and help me with who I am, where I'm going. All of that kind of was already in process. And then we stumbled upon each other talking about this podcast. And when you invited me, I was shocked. Like, what do I have to say? But now it makes sense. I was really honored. But I was in this already in this process with my horses, because my communication with them, my telepathic friend and teacher and mentor also has always helped me with my kiddie for years, and now with the girls. So she's always been a part of it before I developed my horse speak, and I've always had that support. So I had more feedback before I started to learn from her as a student how to telepathically open the heart. And so I'm still not trusting myself sometimes. And in that conversation we had, my heart was so open. I was hearing everything in the paddock that day, and I was just blown away. Like, can I have that heart open all the time? Can I not be like mucking and getting in my head with 60,000
Oh,
thoughts?
so let's talk about that because that's been a recent realization of yours. Let's talk about the mucking. Let's talk about the sheer physical labor involved, especially when, it's different if you have horses out on adequate pasture. Because then, so many things, or if you're in a climate where the manure, the worm burden in the manure is taken care of, that's like a fraction of the work. But when you're in a boarding situation, there's space constraints, the manure has to be handled on a daily basis. Now you're into a minimum of 2 hours a day of horse keeping,
Yeah, oh,
right?
definitely more
I'm
because
saying minimum, right?
minimum,
In
yeah.
the Pacific Northwest, you're into 3 to 4 hours by the time.
During the wet season, oh.
So what's been your big aha moment around that whole sheer physical labor piece?
Well, the first thing was, and they have about 1/3 acre, half an acre. It's mostly on a slope. So in mud, it's hard to pull, the wheelbarrow. Where do I start? Give me like a more specific question because this is a big
So
topic.
we had an email exchange, and I can't remember what prompted it, but you had just finally hit a spot where you were like, I have to hire help.
Oh, yes, we were having that conversation. Yes. So I have somebody right now coming on Monday. And so I was thinking, because even when I was moving, and I had a complicated move to where I am right now, as I'm looking for a farm. And I didn't even miss a day, an evening there during move. It's like, it because this is a rescue space, so they have only so many volunteers, they have only so many resources and time, they have a lot of horses to feed. And so I can't burden them with, can you do it this way or can you do it that way? I have certain supplements, I have certain things, and I have those nets. the nets take time. You have to unzip them and this and
Yeah.
unbuckle them and this and that. They don't have time for that. So so I just committed and I've been going every day, 7 days a week, but it is tiring. And so I was like, how do I take Sunday off just even to run errands?
Yeah.
How do I take Sunday off? Because Monday I have double scooping and double, like, can I ever? And I scoop every day. They need to be clean. And I know even twice a day is good to scoop.
Yeah.
So I have a girl that I adore, a young girl that lives literally 3 minutes away, which I didn't realize. So she started to come on Monday. So that helps. And even like a subtle things like 30 minutes that I can have a conversation with Jesse about little things, the horse.
Yeah.
And we discover some things and we stand together and we do a little scratch and this and that. So I don't have that luxury with beauty anymore either, because I'm constantly in the tunnel vision. It's getting dark. I have to keep mocking. I have to change the water. I have to do this. I have to do that. I make it harder for me because I have how many? I have four big bowls with the nets, one, two, three, and five bags. I hang them when I can. I don't have many places because it's mostly electric fence.
Right.
So I can hang them where I can, but I split and inspect the hay. I don't just toss the flake in, because when you use the nets, you know, nets may be hard on the muzzle and the gums if you constantly do it this way. So I break it up so they can pull it easier, so it's
right.
not compacted. And I find, you know, dead mice or this or that or bark or stones. And so it takes some time on top of that to break it off. So I actually bought three IKEA bags.
Yeah. The big
blue
IKEA bags.
IKEA's really smart.
Yeah.
And now they offered me a little shed outside so I can go to the shed and work on that, walk all the way through different paddocks, get there and repeat three times. I used to have to, my car used to store like up to 16 bales, 60 pound bales. And then eventually I put them in the garage. And then every day I would have to lift 60 pound, put it in the car. It was like my car was so dusty because I would break up the hay in the car, right, standing there. It's just a little bit of a nightmare, but you do what you do, you don't question it. So I appreciate that they offer me the shed right now, that they emptied it for me. So, and I'm trying to figure out if somebody can bring that hay. I still have to now go and get the hay, and
yeah,
you know, it's like, and I can only store so much there. So it's a small shed. So all these logistics, you know, and I have gloves that have a little rubber. So they stick.
So what changed for you that you finally gave yourself permission to hire help and not think that you
I was burned
wrong?
Out and I started to, you know, what if I can't do this? I mean, I have three horses. I'm very responsible, but will it ever end? I mean, you know, it's not my property. I'm still looking. I don't know when I can move. And all the move is even overwhelming. I'm not even there. I'm not even thinking.
Yeah.
Because I've never been there. So why worry?
Yeah.
I have no idea. You know, the last time Beauty was trailered was when she was rescued. What
yeah.
does that mean?
That means you got a journey ahead. Well, it was very interesting because, you know, for me having the 11 horses in the rainy Pacific Northwest, and same thing, 7 days a week, ideally should have been done twice a day with that number of horses.
With that number of horses, yes.
Did not have the time. So it was like a huge job, even
Never.
Once a day. And I was doing it and I had my kids working. And I think I had one other person. So that meant that I did it. I think I was doing it 4 days a week and they were doing it three. And then my first shoulder went, and that's okay. I can shovel manure with one arm. I can do that. That's fine. I'll just use the other one to brace it. Just kept going. And
Aww.
then my second, and it's like the horses of the universe took out both my arms. Now I can't. It's like, this is what we have to do to you to make you hire the help you need. Because I thought, well, I've already got people working part-time. Like, the amount these horses are costing me, how can I justify spending thousands of dollars more to hire help when this is my choice? My husband didn't want me to get all these extra horses. So there was all the guilt in there. And then the only way was to completely disable me. And then I was forced.
Yeah, so that's how stubborn you were. Yeah.
Barn help 7 days a week, because what the horses kept saying to me, we're not here just to be horses. This is not what we're doing here. You're not a horse person that wanted 11 horses and all the way. We're here to do the spiritual work. But if you're spending 4 hours a day shoveling manure and loading slow feeders, there's no spiritual work getting done
there's
here.
And I haven't done anything for so long, but little glimpses. Exactly. So in terms of me, I have a chiropractor, and you know, my pelvis keeps getting twisted because it's like repeated motion in one way. So yes, it is. My back has been so good. I have scoliosis, but for years it's been amazing. And this is the first time when, I have pains that I haven't had for decades because of that pelvis twisting. So I have to start going to him like I used to. But yeah.
And then you know that after you see a chiropractor, you don't lift things that day or the next day. You have to give your, so that's 2 days. You can't do barn chores. You have to hire help.
Yeah. So I was thinking about asking some young volunteers if they would want to make some money. I don't know. For me, it's like waiting game. I just want to move. And when I move, I'll settle down. I'll find community, and then I'll resource, and then I'll settle. Right now, it's like, you know, I listed my house first over a year ago. It took me a long time. So I constantly was like, I'm moving. I had a farm under contract. I almost moved, but my house didn't sell. So it's like I was in that limbo. I'm not going to commit to anything because I need to move.
Yeah. So meanwhile, that's already 2 years of you not having barn help because you don't want to commit because you're moving soon. And this is what we do to ourselves mentally. And I just want to throw it out there to everybody. The whole globe is in chaos right now. Like this is what I've been experiencing in my own personal journey. My husband and I we're trying to, because for us, we don't lack the resources now. We're at a point in our life, we have enough money to do what we want. We can't figure out what to do because this chaos is literally worldwide. And it's like, and then every path we start going down, we get a no. And I'm like, you know, I just don't think there's a path right now. And you can't ask the universe for guidance when the universe itself doesn't know what's going to happen, because what happens out of this chaos is determined by humanity. If enough of us can rise with a shift in our consciousness, we will create this world. And then the place that your farm is will be here, and the place where I'm supposed to be will be here. But right now,
we're here.
It's this whirling ball of mess. Everybody is being held in limbo in situations that are not right. There's like, from even for me here at the ranch, like in terms of my family and all that, this is not the right place for my family to live, but we're being held in limbo right now. So just offering that perspective that, and this is a global thing. You can't go like, oh, well, I'll move countries and then it'll be, no, in every country you see the same level of chaos right now. So there's times in life where it's just holding pattern. So while you're in the holding pattern, don't hesitate, get your systems in place. Even if you think I'm only here for 3 months, fine, hire people for 3 months. Keep yourself strong, keep yourself healthy, keep yourself balanced, because the way out of this chaos is going to be determined by your state. That has to be priority number one for all of us.
Yeah. And the issue is the cost, because, you know, you figured it out, but you're very prolific. You have a lot of sources of income. My business is still paying for the horses.
Oh, mine too. Yeah.
And so, so that has been a little bit of a challenge, especially that upheaval, because that upheaval has been also financial. People are in chaos. Absolutely. And so resources, holding on to them. So just paying attention to that.
Yeah, but it's still the bottom line that you working an hour in your business I guarantee you're making far more than the hour of the person shoveling
Yes,
over.
absolutely.
So
That's how,
that's a
yeah.
thing where you just have to go, that's a bottom line.
That's the
Because,
bottom line. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
you know,
Absolutely.
part of that spiritual work too, it's like, well, if you have to really focus in on making money, so instead of spending 7 days a week connecting with your horses, you're spending three. But the other 4 days, you're really like, you can ask your horses for help with your business, and they will tell you which ways they can help. So for my herd, because I was like, okay, guys, because you know, I'm absolutely kind of like hesitant to say how much the horses were costing me when we lived down on the coast, because people would just be like horrified. And my husband, of course, was horrified. He's like, half of my salary is now going to these horses. And I was like, I know. And for me, I was like, well, this is my guidance from the universe. So the universe will provide. I thought we would have an increase in revenue. We had no increase in revenue. And so I would go to the horse, I'd be like, what is the plan here? Like, what, you can't just load me with double my running costs. And then nothing? Like what? Like I thought you were gonna help increase sales. I thought you were gonna, and the horses were like, we don't work that way. So when I took the time to actually ask them, how can you help? They said, we can help with the big things. Like if you're negotiating a contract or like getting the mortgage for this ranch. The horses got the mortgage for this ranch. There's no way, black and white on paper, I should ever have been given this mortgage. I did my part. But the final thing was the horses. So they're like, if you're closing a deal, you're negotiating, it's like a deal, basically, like some kind of business negotiation or transaction. That's where you can call us in, we'll help. But in terms of your daily sales and your customers, your clients, we don't know. That's not where we can work. We can't help you, and that's not what we do. So then if you go, okay, well, if that's up to me, how about, I'm going to see you less because I have to spend more time in my business. Can you support me while I'm working on my business? Can you energetically support me? Can you help me channel ideas more clearly? Can you help me be more centered and bend time? Because if you can, if you learn how to bend time when you're working, right, that's where you drop out of the time-space continuum. Time disappears and you can output it up to 8 times the level of a normal human. This is how I do everything that I do. And the horses can help you with that. I mean, that's their base language. Bend time, leave the time space continuum, we're there in like Flynn, right? So you have to get that dialogue going with your herd to say, okay, how can we work together? Because we are in third dimension reality and money for you guys is a non-negotiable because horses are very expensive.
These are great ideas. Yeah, I keep showing them, asking them to help me manifest the farm, because I'm in a position, like you said, if I want to get a couple of acres with a tiny house, like small house just for me, and build what I need to build for them where I want to live, like nobody would give me the mortgage I would need, I think, at this time. So it's
Well,
like,
I had a banker say to me, he said, you're asking me for a mortgage, a $1.5 million mortgage for a company. Look at your balance sheet. It's made zero profit this year. How can you ask me for a company with zero money in the bank for $1.5 million mortgage? I was like, you don't know how to read my books. Like, I'm an entrepreneur. We purposely try to zero out our income. We like, this is a tax strategy. And I'm like, okay, you can't. So I moved on. I just was like, okay, you're not the banker for me. I'm moving on to the next banker. I'm moving on. So I just kept. So that's the part where I can be really active, right? But in terms of, you know, in the final analysis, it was, and that's why my husband, who opposed me buying this ranch, well, in the beginning he said yes, and he's the one who made me call the realtor, make an offer subject to sale. I was like, I'm going to see it tomorrow. He's like, call the realtor. That was his spiritual self speaking,
Okay,
but
and
then his
then he's
human
closest
self
to
came back in, and he was like, we cannot afford this. Do not buy that ranch. Blah blah blah. And I was like, sorry, I've already been there. I received all the confirmation from the universe. You said yes. I'm listening to the first thing you said. I'm moving ahead. Which caused us 4 years of turmoil. But anyway, my point is, even my husband was like, wasn't worried. He's like, you're never going to get a mortgage. There's just no way. But that's where the horse's magic can happen. But you have to find out where can your horses help you. And their magic too was like in the land. Like I wasn't looking for, I had my requirements in terms of, you know, I require certain things for the water on the land, and exposure and blah, blah, blah. But it was the horse's choice. Where is your land? So I was continually asking them, where is your land? Show me. And when I would walk onto a piece, I would check with them. I would bring them energetically with me and say like, is this your land? And if it is, give me signs. Right. And then, so certain things happened. We had a property that was actually court ordered sale because the owner had died. And so it was going to be had for a bit of a bargain. And it was, I thought it was amazing. And then when I invited the horses to join me energetically on the property, they showed me something I hadn't noticed. They were like, this property is a narrow rectangle with trees that narrow it even further. This is a tunnel. This is a trap zone. So we're not going to use 3/4 of this property because there's no exits out. There's only one way in and one way out, because of the trees and the way that the creek was. And I was like, oh, I didn't even notice it until I brought them in, I couldn't see it through their eyes. So it looked like this incredible grazing land. And they were like, no, won't even go there. 3/4 of property gone. So yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, I'll have to keep asking them to help me find the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, you know, one thing I was thinking when you were talking, why I didn't have anyone help me before. I think before I was very cognizant of how sensitive to other energies beauty was.
Yes.
And there's a lot of energy and a lot of cell phones, people walking with the cell phones and this and that. And I think initially I just wanted my horses to have their own space without anybody invading it energetically.
Yes.
So they're clean. And I'm very selective too about who I invite. And every person that I invite into the space, they respect and they enjoy, the energy is right.
Exactly. That's a really good point that I'm glad you brought up, because that's another place where, yeah, I will bring someone, but if the horses don't okay that person's not working there. Mm-hmm. So we had this one guy arrived and I was training and Montaro just kept looking at him like this. And I'd be like, Taro, what's up? And he just kept looking at the guy like this, but he didn't say no. I'm like, do you want me to tell him no? He didn't say no. So we just kept going. And then one day, you know, the third day of his training, Montaro finally said, there's an entity on his right leg and it's got to go or he can't work here. So now I'm into this conversation with this young lad that I don't even know. He could be evangelical Christian. And like, I don't know what his orientation is. And you know, so then, and I was like, well, Montaro says, and he's like, what's an entity? I was like, okay, we're starting there. So we went to, but it's the horse's space and they can perceive things that we can't perceive. So Montaro was like, this person is good. The entity is not. He has to be willing to release that entity or he can't come into our space. And then I'd showed up with someone else that one of my barn workers referred because he thought she'd be amazing. She was coming down the barn road and the horses said, do not let her into the paddock. They were like, keep her on that side of the fence.
How do you know? That's the thing. Because I don't pick up that information.
Yeah. Well, you have to ask Beauty because Beauty will know. 100%. You have to, and so this is the thing, like you said, it's really important for the horses to have their energetic space and to have their energetic boundaries. So anybody who's coming into that space, they have to say yes. It doesn't matter what we think of the person. I mean, it does, but the final decision has to be the horses.
I don't know what they think about the girl that comes. I know her, I trust her. She's really a good soul. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
Well,
know.
and maybe, go check with your horses. Beauty might say, no, she's good. She's fine.
Okay. I will spend some time on that. Because I remember initially it took a lot of clearing, like to feel that the space was theirs.
Yeah.
And the land itself had a lot of stuff on it. I think sometimes
Yes.
there's still stuff on it, especially in that location. It's a little rough.
Yeah.
And so they have that space that is just theirs, and it's at the end, so volunteers don't walk through anywhere through them.
Nice. That's
And
perfect.
they no longer visit just to visit, because they know these are my horses now. So the girls have had an opportunity to live together as a herd, just
Yeah.
live together.
Which is beautiful. And I think it's also like, the thing that you don't see until hindsight, because when you're in a situation that's less than ideal or has significant issues, all you think about is what's wrong with the place you're at. And if I could just get to my own land, if I could just get to my own place, everything. But then once you get to your own land and you look back, then you really see the reasons why you were held in each of those situations that benefited you and the horses, and they were actually crucial to your pathway.
Absolutely.
So again, that's where you're back into trust. Well, if your farm hasn't arrived yet, there's probably at least three good reasons for that. So
yes.
Lean in where you are.
Lean in. Yes. Yeah. Lean in. I agree completely, because I, randomly, mysteriously have this wonderful friend now who has been trimming her horses for years and wants me to successfully trim as needed. And and that relationship with beauty she developed is wonderful. And so I would not have met her. I wouldn't know. I couldn't find a farrier. I didn't know what to do. I was really scrambling by, but I just asked the universe. And I still have things to learn. And we're still working on the worming. I started to talk to the worms because of you. I see the hive community and it's like, you better go because we're taking you on. Go somewhere else. I don't know if they're going.
Yeah. Well, and have that dialogue with them, to say, we do this with my gut healing client, customers, readers, followers. I don't do one-on-one consults, but I help people a lot through my books and through a support. I have a whole customer service team. But anyway, when people have a stubborn infection, whether it's C. difficile or candida yeast or whatever, that dialogue with the microorganism, with the pathogen, with the parasite is really important, because, and it can't just be agenda driven. It can't just be like, okay, you need to leave, because that critter is there for a reason. If there wasn't a matching lock to their key, they wouldn't be there in the first place. So often the first place to start is what makes this a good home for you, right? And it's not necessarily a physical thing. It could be, well, she has unresolved anger, or well, there's a trauma from childhood that provides the perfect conditions for us to thrive. And until you heal that trauma, or until you release that anger, you move into forgiveness, you're an ideal host environment.
So, have that frequency. Yeah, you have the matching.
Exactly.
It's interesting because that infection happened this spring, summer now, with all three of them. First time that I know. And she's a wild horse, so she should respond beautifully. The other one other ones were cleared with medication. I had to go into medication. I tried different herbals and they were very slow. But the beauty is the one that is resistant. So you think, like, what was that ground for her? Because she was still in that pattern when she was locked emotionally. She still had those unresolved grief and pain and loss.
Yes, there
you
go.
So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I was a little irritated with the bugs. Like, you guys have to go. So I'm going to change the way I talk to them. But you can talk to your bugs, but can you talk to somebody else's bugs?
Yes, exactly.
The question.
Exactly. Yeah, and maybe your role is guiding beauty to talk to the bugs.
Ah.
Right? You have to connect to these worms. Why are you here? What's attracted you here? What's led you here? What purpose are you serving? How have I created an ideal environment for you? What's imbalanced in me that this is a good place for you to live? All those kinds of questions. Have beauty ask her body and ask the microbes. And then see what arises, because yeah, and sometimes it's stuff that just takes time to resolve, And not saying that we ignore the physical. Like for me with Odie, she had a really high parasite load because she was severely malnutritioned for her entire life, and she was forced to eat the scraps of the hay that were mixed with all the urine and feces of all the other horses because she was the youngest, one of the youngest. So her gut was just destroyed. And I said to her, "What do you need?" And I had, ivermectin is a natural wormer. It's cultured on, a natural organism. And then I had all the others that were synthesized drugged things that were stronger. She picked the strongest one, and that is almost, they can say, "Well, this is dangerous. Don't use it too many times." That's the one she chose, and it was absolutely toxic and foul. So first time I gave it to her, again, unhaltered, and I squirted her mouth, she spat the whole thing out all over me because she couldn't believe it. She was shocked at how horrific it was. And she just back on all covered me in it. And I was like, "Okay, well, how are you gonna, if you want this, how are you gonna get it down?" She's like, "Carrots, have cut carrots in your pocket. Squirt it in my mouth, immediately give me the carrot." So she was using the carrots like a chaser to help her force it down. But she chose that. She wanted it. She only had one dose in the whole 8 years she's been with me. But she needed that initial dose to give her really big clear out. And then after that, she's chosen ivermectin, I think once, maybe twice. And then the rest of the time now, just the neem leaf coated with the flax oil. And then that's all she's needed. And then I give them ongoing probiotics because, of course, if you're clearing stuff out, you got to replace it with the good bugs. And that's all she needed. So it's not about, this whole thing of we have to worm ongoing and we have to. No, you don't. And
No, I
that's what
went.
is, it's like antibiotic overuse. That actually leads to trouble
Yeah.
and then nothing works. And.
I have a microscope and I look.
Yes.
It's fun. I've looked so many times. I track their numbers, all three of them, how they responded. I see under the microscope, I see microplastics.
Yeah.
And they're always blue. It has to do
Wow.
something with the little threads or the what the bales are in, it's always
Yes.
blue, little
Yes,
stuff.
the bale. Oh, I'm so opposed to those. When I grew up, all of our hay was baled with natural sisal twine. It was, and it biodegraded, and there was never, and now we just, the plastic, oh, it's, yeah. And I talked to some hay growers. I'm like, "Why can't we have the natural?" And they said, number one, nobody want, it's much less, like it has a high, it breaks easier. So you get more wastage when you're baling. So farmers don't want to use it for that reason. Affects their profit margin. And the ones that did want to switch, because I had a guy who was, he specialized in low sugar hay, so he already had a more discerning clientele. He was actually open to it. So he looked into it. He said, "Oh my God, the price difference." Because he said, when it was being used a lot, there were big factories that produced it. He said, now there's just a couple of factories in, I think,
Specialty.
Brazil or something. Yeah, I had some
Country.
other far away. So you're looking at a high shipping cost. And there's only a couple places that make it, so the price is just really high. So even a farmer that was open to switching was like, "I can't financially make this work."
Anyway, I think you and I are really big on sustainability, and I feel with the medications or protocols for warming and deworming, having a microscope was the best thing I invested in. It cost me about $500 with all the gear. But the amount of exposure I got looking through the microscope, looking in their gut, looking at the, you know, counting and seeing the patterns, it's priceless.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially for someone like you who's oriented that way already, right? Like
nobody taught me. I mean, I looked at it for almost a year. I was so intimidated. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And once you read the instructions, now you can do it. But it's like, I was so overwhelmed with everything else that I just couldn't really. It was just beautiful standing there waiting for me. And finally, Jesse got depressed. This is why I was like, what is this? What is this? Jesse got depressed and she started losing weight, you know, different things. And so I looked at it and they were infected.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were infected before, but I kind of know why, maybe. Because there's So anyway, so I'm working with somebody and we're going to try ivermectin at this time before we tried something more aggressive. But she was as high as 5,000 at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the herbs were like too gradual. I understand, you know, one thing that I've learned is that if you have chronic worms, you really, you know, as much as I don't like medications, if you don't get a handle on it, they can encrypt.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can really latch on into organs. So I'm going to do a new protocol coming soon. I'm finishing one right now. I'm going to retest. Yeah. It was 2,600 last time. And this time, first time in my life, I saw those worms. They were already rod shaped. They were wiggling. Every single egg was wiggling. I'm trying to hatch. It was like, oh, they're going to burst out of those eggs. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Quite an experience, but it gives you independence. The more we can be independent from vets and, you know, it's like less stress, more empowerment, more knowledge. You get to know.
But also, like, let's not take our sanitized Western viewpoint of pathogens. Like, all of humanity and the animal kingdom evolved to coexist with parasites. There's a lot of symbiosis. We can carry a lot of stuff. And not only does it not negatively affect us, in some ways, it works together with our immune system.
Yes, there's a caveat. My horses are in a more unnatural environment.
Exactly. Beauty
cannot go and dig in the soil and eat the bark, very toxic otherwise, that will give the exact chemical components at the exact dosage when the brain registers, like, this is how much I need, keep going, oh, done. She doesn't have that capacity.
Exactly. On this ranch, I've identified 30 medicinal plants where the horses can self-medicate. And that's not even getting into the barks and the fungi that are here. So there's an entire medicine covered. But also, so there's the environmental bioterrain, but then there's also that internal, energetic, emotional bioterrain. And so just attacking pathogens, you're hitting one out of three aspects. So until you get to a place where you can change the environment, and until you've done the work to shift the internal environment, you're not gonna get a net positive by just going hard on the wormers.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's really, like you say, listen to the horse. It's really observation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was not warming them at all. It was not even, no, this is, everything is fine. Until Jesse started to show depression and different behavior. Because you're there every day, you notice.
Yes.
You know? And then sugar lost weight really drastically. Each horse is different. And so, and like you said, when we bring more balance energetically, may I share the not now story of Jesse? Because this is so inspiring to me. But it took
Let's 5 years. Let's end with Jesse's not now story.
Yes. So She's in her 20s. She was rescued maybe a year before Beauty, and had to have her eye removed. She was a working horse, I think, and is very protective of that blind side. It's very devoted to Beauty, has a lot of scraps and bites and scars on her seeing side because Beauty needs more space sometimes. Like, Jessie, give me space. But also, she has, I think since birth, she is a night blind. And I suspect that her hearing has gone maybe through the injury of the eye initially or surgery, something. You can spook her easily, even though you talk to her. I don't know that she hears very well.
Right.
So she has those couple of components that make her really very self-protective and defensive. And if you come too close, she's not very lovey. If you come too close when she doesn't want it, she even bit me on the head, but without hurting me. It's like, nope. So she like, I'm retired, no halter. I don't need any training. I've done it all, but I don't want halter. And trimming her hooves, she can get so anxious. She will run around in circles, get into her anxiety. So working with Jessie is just a lot of space observing and letting her speak. So with a halter, we would have conversations. How about that? In horse speak, this is how they ask questions. So Jessie, would you like a halter now? Biting the halter. Okay, well, tail swish it. I throw it on, drop it on the poo-poo and it walk away. Come back. How about now? But then that's, if you need a halter, you need a halter. But fly mask is, she hates flies more than she hates fly masks. And there's one fly mask that I have, I'm very selective, so they can see. It's like, but the strip ends right here.
By the
It
eye.
blocks her peripheral vision on her one eye that she has, and I hate it. I keep moving it. And well, initially, she will bite it and she will pin the ears. Like, but I'm standing there and take a step back. It's like, this is your head, Jesse. I'm just asking the question. Fine, tail swish. No worry. We'll throw it down on the ground. We'll talk about it later. And I can come up if I see the flies are all over her. She will like swing her head in despair. I'll come back again. I guess, the flies are in your eye. No, well, how about it now? And and sometimes throw it down, and eventually sometimes she will literally walk to it and put the nose on it. Like, are you ready? Because if I try, she'll pin her ears. Okay, no. But then I'm like gently, putting it, and she's standing like a little doll. Like, yeah, put it on. And the other day I brought, yesterday I brought a new halter which has a visor, so it's like it doesn't touch the eyes. It's like that.
Oh, very nice. It
And the
holds it
strip
all
is
out
here.
from her face.
And then it has a protection for her muzzle.
Right.
So even flies off the muzzle. And so again, the conversation. Would you not? What do you think? And she like, okay, well, let's try it. I put it on and she's looking at me and she's thinking, and I feel she's impressed. And she walks with it. And then I'm sorting out hay, I'm kneeling on my knees in front of this big ball. And Jessie is wearing this mask and is just approaching me, lowering, 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 lowering. Like, my head is here, lowering, like rubbing me against her muzzle. Like, I'm just like, I want to tell you. And so I'm actually kissing her side of the muzzle, which she doesn't really care for normally, and like rubbing her there gently. That is a horse that doesn't like these things, but it is her way of saying, I see what you've done. I don't have this thing in my eye. I can see. And as the visor is here, so it's more protection. When she is at night, we have blackberry bushes. I keep trimming them. At night, she gets cuts all over because she's like a dog. She has to use her nose. She's blind.
Right.
So eventually on my farm, I'm going to give you her a visor for the night, so to protect the whole face. But it was interesting how she approached me like she approaches Beauty. Like, Beauty, Beauty, Beauty. You okay there? Can I touch you here? Can we eat together? Like, go away. It's okay. I'm right there. And she finally asked me to scratch her belly.
That's, she's never asked before.
No. I know it took 1 year for me to see that Sugar had a belly scratch that she needed. So Sugar had to throw herself on her belly and rub the belly on the ground in front of me.
Yeah.
Finally, because I was really focused on beauty. She has sweet itch, so I always scratched her.
Right.
It took me a long time to see Sugar, but I tried with Jessie a few times and she was like not into it.
Yeah.
But now she says, you know, you really are my girl. You can scratch me. It took a while. It took a long time.
Yeah. And I love the way your story with the halter and the fly mask and the not now and just immediately dropping it. No disappointment, no like, oh, frustration, just like, okay, drop it. Go do something else.
This is her body.
Yes.
So if we put something on their body, there has to be consent. Like for beauty, I always wanted consent. Let's put the halter together. It's not just me putting on, because, you know, the horse is a prey animal. We're taking away some of the freedom of her to move or her to see. You know, this is our agenda. They may feel impaired. So the agreement, the purpose, and treating them as equally, like I would hate that thing in my eye, in corner of my eye, like sticking out.
Right? When like anybody would hate something rubbing on their eye and affecting their vision. It's not rocket science. It's pretty obvious.
You know, I put the mask on me and see, is it comfortable? The mask I have for beauty, which she let me put on once so far, is so delicate. It's like, and you can see really well because she's a lead mare. She has to see everyone.
Yes.
So, like always thinking about how you would feel. It's the same thing. We have the same needs, the same frustrations. We're not higher than them.
Watching, observing, listening to your horse. Love it, Kasia. Thank you so much for sharing all your progress and your wonderful journey. And
thank you for your inspiration. I'm going.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for joining us on the Listen to Your Horse podcast. Lots more videos, stories, and podcasts at listentoyourhorse.com.